Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Oh, I'm glad you're with me. I'd suffer the effects of urhidrosis if you made me sweat with the idea that you missed today's show. 18 NTC and N10. We kick off our coverage of the Nonprofit Technology Conference with the host's leader, Amy Sample Ward, is CEO of Nonprofit Technology Network and our social media contributor. She explains why the conference is wildly popular and why you need to join N10. I have been a member for years. That was recorded, of course, at the Nonprofit Technology Conference. And SMS fundraising. Can this help you? Lots of nonprofits are successful with it. It's more than text to give. The details of setting goals, list growing, finding the tech you need, and more come to you from Rachel Kotler with Maska Neal and Company, Taylor Dankmeyer at Upland Mobile Messaging, and Sandy Fox, principal of Smart as a Fox, also recorded at the Nonprofit Technology Conference. On Tony's Take Two, my number one 18 NTC takeaway. We're sponsored by Pursuant, full-service fundraising, data-driven, and technology-enabled. Tony.ma/Pursuant Radio. By Wegner CPAs, guiding you beyond the numbers, WegnerCPAs.com. By Telos, turning credit card processing into your passive revenue stream. Tony.ma/Tony Telos. Here is the kickoff of NTC coverage with 18 NTC and N10 and Amy Sample Ward.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of 18 NTC, the Nonprofit Technology Conference. This interview is sponsored by Network for Good, easy-to-use donor management and fundraising software for nonprofits. We're in the Convention Center in New Orleans, and this is interview number two of our coverage, and I'm very pleased to have Amy Sample Ward with us. Hello, Amy Sample Ward.
Hello. Interview number two. I'm sad I didn't get number one.
I think number one.
I should have hustled.
That's
yeah,
okay.
I should have hustled.
You were booked, or we were booked already.
Yeah.
These interviews go fast.
It's true. They do go fast.
You gotta jump on Nonprofit Radio. Amy, of course, is the CEO of N10, the Nonprofit Technology Network, and the social media contributor for Nonprofit Radio. Now, when we're on Nonprofit Radio but not here, I always say you're social media contributor and CEO of N10.
Yes, but you get to flip it. Yeah.
But here at N10, you're CEO first.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's real.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on 18 NTC.
Yeah.
You've been working, the staff has been working very hard on this for months and months.
It's true. Hopefully it feels like we worked hard, but that we are not working hard now and that you do not see a lot of stress on us now.
Right. No, I see a lot of fun.
Good. Fun. Okay, good.
Ailey was very fun last
night.
Yeah. We checked in and everything.
Oh, good. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Bethany came by today, gave a nice hi.
Great.
Yes, so. Before we talk about N10, let's talk about 18 NTC.
Yeah.
I saw 1,320
first-time attendees.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We like our first-timers, right?
We like our first-timers, yeah. I mean, it's not... I think there are some folks who are in a position both to really, really want to and really, really be able to come every single year, regardless of location, but... We also hear from a lot of folks that that's not really the way their organization has budgeted.
Uh-huh.
What we actually hear a lot of is that people come one year and then they rotate through their team so that each person gets to go, for example, every 3 years and, you know, they rotate who gets to go. So even though...
Because they're great fun.
Yeah, totally.
The food is excellent.
Totally. So we've got, you know, about half of the attendees are first timers, but when we run the numbers on if their organization is first, it's much lower because it's that individual's first time, but the organization has been here in some way or another in the past.
Great. More people being exposed.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Which is kind of part of our goals, that it isn't just one person in an organization trying to do this work.
Yes. And we know that N10 is not only for technologists.
Exactly.
So we don't only want the technologist, if you have one.
Right, if you even have one.
If you have one, exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners do not. But if you do, we don't want that person to be the sole person coming.
Right,
I've already met a couple of other CEO executive directors.
Yep, exactly.
Yes, okay.
Yep.
How many total attendance here?
I haven't seen the final number, but people were even registering still yesterday. So I think when I saw it yesterday, it was at 21, 23, something like that. So, good. Well over 2,100. We'll just leave it at that and not have to get a specific
2,100
number.
2,100 plus. Okay, yeah. Excellent. 130 sessions, I think?
130 sessions, over 300 speakers. Over 90% of sessions have at least one nonprofit staff member speaking.
Yes, that's important. Yes, you like to go beyond the consultants.
Yeah.
Okay. What stats can I share about nonprofit? We all have 25 or 26 interviews scheduled.
Wow.
Over the 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Very pleased with that. I didn't count the number. Most are panels of at least two.
Yeah, nice.
We have a bunch of threes, even a sprinkling of fours.
Wow.
We're going to have some mic
double
sharing,
up mics,
mic
yeah.
So, I don't know. We've got 25 to 50, 75. It's got to be 80 to 90 speakers, I would think.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah. We get good
significant
good
portion.
Good.
Yeah.
What else about 18NTC?
Well, one of the stats, I guess you could say, that I shared this morning was, you know, N10 has hosted the NTC, but also the community had been self-organizing even before N10 started. So in a way, the NTC has lasted longer than N10, but for all intents and purposes, we'll say as long as N10, so, you know, 19 years. But we've only been in New Orleans one other time, and that was 10 years ago.
Oh,
and there are 64 folks registered who were at that NTC, too.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah.
You love data.
Loves data. Well, yes. And it tells such an interesting story, right? 64 different people. Yeah. And of those 64, the vast majority of them, it was their first NTC. So New Orleans was their first, they have stayed for 10 years. So hopefully, you know, a lot of those 1,300 will stay for 10 years.
Now, we know that they've stayed.
Yeah.
It's not like they came 10 years ago and then they skipped 9 years.
Nope.
And now they're back. That's not the
case. I mean, they skipped a couple at different times, but pretty consistently stayed the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to, we don't have any questions lingering about.
For sure.
About the validity of what we're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Don't question the data.
Okay. All right. No, but challenge. Challenge.
Challenge. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Healthy challenge.
Healthy challenge. All right. 18NTC. We got, I know something I want to talk about. You are actively pursuing something that you and I have talked about around 18NTC, and that is the affiliated but not official activities. Maybe I'm not calling them the right thing, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm just not calling it the right thing. NTC beer.
Oh, okay.
Yoga, morning run, explore the French Quarter. Bullet journaling, Bujos. Bujos. I thought bullet journaling was Twitter, but apparently I was mistaken. So these are things that are organically created by community members coming here, but you give them a template and a format to follow, and then you have some disclaimers. You know, it's not our event. You need to coordinate with the people who are creating it, but it's an organic growth. You're empowering the community to take the conference and mold it the way they would like it to be in some small respect.
Yeah, totally.
It's time for a break. Pursuant, they're not just producing valuable digital content on the listener landing page. Oh, goodness no. They are professional fundraisers and campaign counsel. They can work with you on site or remotely to get your campaign started, or if it's flagging, to get it re-energized. Assessment, case development, major gift prospecting, volunteer coaching, campaign management, all of that stuff. They do it all. Start at tony.ma/pursuantradio. Now back to Amy Sample Ward.
Say more about that.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different aspects. Yeah. So there are some things that we definitely take, kind of to use your language, a little bit more effort and do create the template and some examples and get them going. And that's things like the dine arounds. So N10 actually does basically nothing for that. We just say, you should go to dinner with 5 other people. Here is a Google Doc where you can write down where you just call, make a dinner reservation anywhere for 6 people, put it in this document, and then 5 people add their name, total strangers, that want to go to dinner with you.
Yeah.
And then the next person just copies the same, you know, table, puts in, I've made a reservation under my name at this restaurant. Do you want to go there? 5 people add their name. Before the conference even started, every single dinner spot was full. people were calling us and asking for help making more reservations because restaurants were full. Everybody yeah. wanted to be able to go. And I think it's a great example, both of what we do, but what anybody can do. The community is happy to self-organize, but they often don't know what's allowed or what would work. They've never been there. They don't know what the restaurants are. They see some examples and they think, okay, I too can call a restaurant and make a reservation for 6 p.m. And that's all I have to do. I don't have to know those people. I don't have to go recruit.
Even solicit.
Yeah, I don't even have to recruit yeah. friends to come.
Yeah.
N10 will promote that the dine around is happening. And now I get to meet five other people. We all just pay for our own dinner. Like, you know, there's no other logistics that I think people get intimidated by in trying to be a part of an event. Like
yeah,
that?
I'm going to have to get six people who right. I know are going to the conference. And
right, and how would I find yeah, them? And yeah. yeah, and I think that's true, certainly, of in-person events like this, but all the time in organizations. So long as you give people the template, you know, you tell them what the lanes on the bowling lane are, they want to do it, you know, and they want to have a place, especially when it's something like this that lets them connect with other community members, you know, and meet people. And we all have to eat dinner. Right?
Yeah.
So why not, yeah. you know, do it in this path?
Very smart. Yeah.
yeah.
And it's consistent with what you and I have talked about on the show many
right.
times. Organic growth within the community.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
With some boundaries and a little assistance.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
And like you said, I think the disclaimers are important, not to, you know, not
yeah,
to breeze past
there,
them,
but,
you
yeah,
know, to
okay.
make sure people know N10 is not responsible for your dinner reservations. If you didn't make it, we don't know any details about it, you know? So
yeah, yeah.
just, and I think that goes with creating the guidelines or whatever, so they know where the organization stops and you as the community member have to start with responsibility. But after that, I mean, you've seen people just totally take it and build it how they want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't see that a lot of other conferences. That,
oh.
That kind of allowing that
space
to take it to, yes, to take it in a direction where you'd like to, you know, very simply and within reason. I
yeah.
don't see that a lot. I know you don't want to trash talk your conference competition, but
yeah.
And I'm not trash talking either, but I don't see it. Congratulations.
It's part of the special sauce of N10.
How do you come up with these good ideas? Was that a staff driven idea? Did you
yeah,
see it
I mean a lot of these ideas yeah. are staff driven ideas that we see in other places. Not even necessarily other conferences, but just in other aspects of our life where we read a blog about something and it gave us an idea. But we have all staff NTC meetings, you know, all year round, and staff just bring ideas to those and say, oh, I was at this event in town this weekend, you know, for my knitters group, and somebody mentioned this. What if we turned that around and did it this way for the NTC, you know? And then staff either say that's a horrible idea, no,
okay.
or yeah, let's do it. And who wants to be on the project team? And let's build out a plan. And a lot of it comes kind of through staff, but from the community, you know, from engaging with them, hearing their ideas. And a lot of our online groups, the different kind of topical peer groups that we have, will bring ideas too. Like they'll be having a monthly call and discuss something and say, is there a way we could turn this into an open conversation at the NTC? This was such a interesting idea that we had. I bet more people have ideas to share. And then we work with them on, you know, creating a space for that conversation to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little about staff.
Yeah.
How many staff?
14.
Okay, and not all in Portland, Oregon?
Nope, Portland is our
virtual.
Only actual office.
Yeah.
But then we have three virtual staff.
Three virtual, okay. I love N10.
I mean, you do love N10.
I'm a member. You're on the show every month.
Yeah.
And you have been since show number 100.
Yeah.
We're coming up on 400.
Oh, my gosh.
So that you would have joined in 2011. We started in July of 2010. You would have started in July of 2011.
Wow.
And you're coming up on 7 years. July is
wow,
going to be your seventh.
Wow, really?
I think I have that right. Because you were on, the first time you were on was show number 100.
Yeah, it was.
And we're coming up on show number 400. So however you slice that, that's another 300 shows, 6 years. It's 6 or 7 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
And I, you know, and when you were, at the time, when you first came, you were a membership director.
I was.
Right, of
yeah.
N10?
Yeah.
Before you were promoted, moved up to CEO.
Yeah.
But so I love N10. I love it so much, sometimes I overthink it. You know, the staff is like motivated.
Yeah.
motivated and driven are synonyms, so there's no point saying motivated, driven, but like upbeat.
A little bee colony.
And they care, a bee colony.
Yeah.
They really just care about interacting with people and helping the broader mission, which is smarter use of technology,
yeah,
so that you listeners, people in small and mid-sized nonprofits, can focus more on your program and mission work.
Exactly.
And not stress so much over tech.
Right.
Did I phrase that correctly?
Yeah, that's all great. Yeah.
Okay. So smart staff, it's not even possible to shout out the people who have worked on 18NTC, is it? Because it's everybody.
It's staff.
It's everybody. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All staff. All right.
Yep.
We'll leave that there then. let's talk about N10.
Yeah.
As a membership organization, yeah, as more than just this conference,
yeah,
as awesome as it is every year. And then in the end, we'll ask about, remind me if I forget, about 19NTC.
Okay.
Whatever we can say about 19NTC,
great,
if I forget.
Great.
Okay. N10. It's a very affordable membership for nonprofits, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you acquainted with the levels of how affordable it is?
Well, our membership dues, if you could join as an individual, just straight up join
that's
as an individual.
That's not the best.
But you could also join as an organization. And if you're joining as either a nonprofit or a for-profit, both organization types have dues levels based on your annual budget. So if you're a really small organization, you'd only be paying $75 a year.
That's excellent.
For all of your staff to have
right,
membership.
And
we don't count how many staff you have.
As many staff want to participate,
yeah,
the organization has a membership for them.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then the tiers go up from there. But you can see by the fact that small organizations are at $75, it's not a lot, regardless of how large your organization is.
And what do you get for your $75?
Well, a lot of folks at this, here at the NTC now know that they get a massive discount on their NTC registration. That is a big perk for sure. And you get discounts on all of our other educational programs, including 50% off the price if you're trying to achieve your professional certificate. So that's a huge discount to get a professional certificate.
You have a certification program now, right?
We have a nonprofit technology professional certificate.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll talk about that too. All
okay.
Right. Now I'll try to remember a few things.
Okay, great.
All right. The nonprofit technology certificate. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So 50% off educational programs. But when we ask members what has the most value for them and what's most important to them about being a member, it's less of the transactional discounts and much more about getting to be a member of this
community.
And getting to find those people that can answer their questions when they need them answered, but also find those people who could answer questions they didn't know they had, and they just want some colleagues. They just want people that they can connect with regularly. And
you can do that virtually, but there are also meetups around the country.
There are in-person tech clubs that are kind of monthly free events, lots of online groups, tons of online content. And we see a lot of the N10 community really engaged on social media too, especially Twitter. And you don't need to follow necessarily the organization if you don't want to, but if you follow the hashtag NPTech for nonprofit technology, there's just so much there happening that's really this community using that hashtag.
Let's talk about some of the virtual communities that you do have. Communities of practice. Do I have that right? Are they still?
We just call them online groups, but
online
they
groups
are essentially a community of practice.
Okay.
They're kind of peer groups, and many of them are formed on a topic like digital communications or using WordPress for your website. So things that maybe are a part of your professional identity, what your job is or what you do at work. There are also a few groups that are a little blurry between professional and personal identity. So women in technology, for example. But you can also create a group. If you see that there's not a group for you, we are happy to support you creating that group. And you can become an organizer, and we'll help you make sure people are in your group and they're engaged and you have access to all of our tools so you can run a free monthly call or webinar, whatever you want to do to engage your group. You don't have to, you put in the time and we cover the costs.
And do you need to be a member of N10 to participate
to join in
these
groups?
Online groups?
Mm-mm.
You do not.
No.
Yeah. See, that's part of, let's talk about that part of your mission, which is, goes beyond the membership.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately N10 is a 501c3 nonprofit. Like, basically everybody else in the community. We're not an association. We don't believe in having a big paywall that says you can only access our content or access the community because you paid to get that access. Because if we did that, we wouldn't meet our mission and we wouldn't be able to reach as many nonprofits as we need to that need help.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty open community and we hope that that helps people, whether they can pay or not, still benefit.
And the tech meetups around the country, do we know how many, do you know how many of those?
Well, there's a couple dozen of them.
And then we're abroad also.
Yeah, we do have some in Canada and over in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And a couple of dozen in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But of course, you know, you always have the virtual groups,
exactly.
The online groups to fall back to.
Yeah.
If there isn't
and
a tech
if you,
meetup.
And if there isn't a tech club in your city, you can also
you
start one
start
of those.
One? Do you
yeah,
want to start
we'll
one?
Help
yes,
you support
yes.
that too.
Okay. Okay. What else? Tell me what else.
You want to talk about the professional N10. Certificate?
Well, we're going to get
oh,
to.
Okay.
Yeah, but we have a little enough time to talk
oh,
about
okay.
the. I did write down, so now I can remember.
Okay.
19 NTC and also the
great.
Professional certificate. Okay, you're off the hook. more about N10. What? I don't know. Anything? Any insider?
Ooh, you know, anything
smart,
insider?
You're a smart group. You know, it's a smart group of.
You know,
people.
We try to not have any inside. Knowledge, really. I mean, you know, we have quarterly town halls where we share what's happening behind the scenes,
yeah,
what
on,
we're
though.
Working
you lead
on.
Those, right? Mm-hmm. You're on, yes.
What's going on? Folks ask us questions. We always answer them publicly. You know, we really try to not have insides. I mean,
okay.
other than
okay.
like, you know, how the sausage is made, kind of.
Yeah.
We do still share that. We actually get a lot of questions in the summertime about, hey, NTC was great. Would you have a call with me and, you know, teach me how you did Dine Arounds or how you did Birds of a Feather or some aspect of the conference that other folks liked? And staff always take those calls and tell other organizations how to do the same thing that we do. But we don't necessarily write it all down publicly because it would be the most boring, longest
yeah,
thing you've ever read.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the community would be much more grateful for a 20-minute phone call.
Yes.
Than,
yes.
A 20-page document.
Right.
PDF. Yeah. Here's
for
what,
sure.
Here's what we did. And no. So.
No, for
you're,
sure.
You're more. Yeah. I mean, you're a chatty group.
Yeah.
The people.
We like
you know,
to chat.
They do. They do. You do. You do. okay. Let's talk about the certificate. Somebody's
okay.
taking pictures. Thank you for shooting picture. Thank you. Where's it going to be?
Twitter.
Oh, tweeting. Okay.
And in my pocket.
Thank you.
Yes.
We love. Well. His pocket and Twitter. Well, we'll stick with the Twitter. I won't pursue the pocket. No, is it? No.
Check Ben's
okay.
Twitter right now.
Ben. Oh, let's give him a shout out. Ben.
Yeah.
Ben Bisbee.
Yes.
It's Ben Bisbee.
Yes, it is Ben Bisbee.
Welcome to the. Welcome. You want to pull up? What does Ben do? No. He doesn't.
We've
want to
already
pull up
a mic. Shared
okay.
Ben's name, and that's enough for Ben.
That's good. Okay. Oh, she's not intimidating.
Stop.
All right, Ben is saying not with the. Just in case, I don't know if we're picking this up on mic, but Ben is saying not with the CEO of N10. All right, Ben. All right. Well, thank you for thanks for promoting.
Bye.
Thanks for promoting us. I didn't hear what he said, but we'll let it go. I don't know if anybody. I didn't hear that part, so listeners, I'm not cheating you. Okay, thank you, Ben Bisbee, for that little flyby. All right, the nonprofit technology certificate.
Yeah.
This is only a couple of years old.
Yeah.
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 What is it about?
Well, we have heard from this community, you know, the broader N10 community for many years at this point that there are a few different kind of career struggles. One is that most of the people here, even if their title is technology or they would identify themselves as a technologist, very few folks in the community have a technology degree, right? People didn't go to college for a computer science
yeah.
degree, and to advance in a career path that is focused on technology, our institutions have not really embraced that that's not how people come into these roles, right? And so there's a lot of folks facing the reality that to get a promotion or to get that IT director job that, you know, they have 20 years experience working in nonprofits, managing technology. There's no reason they can't have that job, but the job description says they have to have a degree in that field, right? So we've heard a lot of that struggle and frustration and that, you know, institutions aren't moving as fast as the community is.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also heard a lot of people say, I know that I have these skills, but as you will appreciate, I think all your listeners will appreciate, our titles in nonprofits are not often representative of all that we do. And to apply for another job and say, oh yeah, I managed our website, but my title was communications coordinator. No one really gets that I do have those skills. I do have that experience. My organization was really bad at job titles. That doesn't mean, you know, I didn't do it. And so we created the professional certificate both to give people the knowledge and the kind of certification that they want, and for those other folks who feel like they have a lot of knowledge, to help make sure it was rounded out and comprehensive across an organization, so that both of those paths could say, here is a way for me to demonstrate I do have this knowledge, I do have this experience, and I am qualified for whatever job I'm applying for. And we have been really thrilled that even in the first few people that graduated with a certificate, they were writing back to us saying, as soon as I had that certificate, I applied for this other job and I got a promotion into a different department, a different organization. I'm able now to communicate that I do have these skills. Yeah. So that was like exactly what we wanted to hear when we started. And now over 50 people have gotten a certificate and many more are in the process with a few more courses to go. So yeah, we are trying to not be surprised because we didn't design this ourselves. We didn't come up with the idea of it ourselves. You know, this was many years of listening to what the community needed and just answering that call and not designing something in private by ourselves. You know, and we piloted this content in different forms and through other programs where we could kind of test it for a few years before we released it as the certificate. So we're trying to not be surprised because we know we did the right work and we did a good process to get here. But honestly, we are still surprised because even when you do it well and you do it right, you're still nervous that, you know, no one will come or that it won't be the thing that the community wants. And it's great that it has gone so well. And now we're working on developing just a lot more courses. So I guess I'll backtrack and explain the way it works is that there's a 10-week kind of, to borrow some language from colleges, like required content that everybody has to do. And then outside of that, in order to get the certificate, you have to do at least 5 other courses. And those you can choose whatever topics you want. And that's our way of helping people kind of focus or say, my knowledge is really in this area. You know, if you're going kind of for a specific angle, or have it all over the place and show that you're more diverse with your experience. Yeah. So we're really doing a lot to build out that kind of curriculum, essentially, so that people could do a much more tailored focus, have a major, you know, borrowing that college language. So we're building that out. I think there's over 40 courses on the website right now that people can choose from, and continuing to add to that. Right now, we've done a lot to add a number of courses specifically around digital equity, because that's something certainly in line with our mission, but also a much more harder field for people to find content around. Even within N10's world, you could find a course on digital marketing or online fundraising, technology management or budgeting. So we've also given ourselves the challenge of making sure we have a lot of content around digital equity and what that means for designing your programs to reach communities who may be not online, how you make your own organizational strategies, that kind of thing.
Okay. And people will find information about the certificate at, of course, at n10.org.
Yep.
N-T-E-N.org. Do you get initials after your name? Is it that kind? Like CFRE?
I mean, we could come up with some initials.
Yeah.
We could come up with some, but no.
So n10.org, you know, join the organization. For Pete's sake, I'm a member. I'm not just... what do we say?
If Tony can be a member, you can be a member.
What do I know from technology? But I'm learning. I learn a little bit every month from Amy. Okay, we got to do a quick shout out for 19 NTC.
Let's do it.
Do we know dates?
We do know dates.
Location.
We will.
19 NTC, please.
It's technically public knowledge, but we haven't directed anyone to the public knowledge. So we'll announce it more formally on Friday. But it'll be in Portland, N10's hometown.
Portland. Yeah. I love Portland.
We'll all get to sleep in the food trucks.
The carts. Carts. The trucks in New York. Carts in Portland. Please.
Yes. We'll get to sleep in our own beds for once as the conference staff. It'll be in March, the 13th through the 15th.
Okay.
So that's just like this, where it's a Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Friday, so everybody can stay the weekend in Portland.
It's a great town. Yes.
Yeah.
I had a very nice long time there, seeing you, getting to know Max a little better.
Yeah.
Max is Max Sample Ward. No, just Max Ward.
Max Ward.
Amy's husband. Is he stage managing today?
He is. He's back there with a headset on.
Okay. We got to wrap it there. Thank you so. Oh, and very, very nice. We got to wrap with this. It's so good to see you in person.
Yay!
Always by phone.
It's so great to get to share a microphone table.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thank the staff of N10.
I really will.
I love N10.
I will.
I'm a member, for God's sake. Join the organization, N10.org.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. This interview sponsored by Network for Good. Easy to use donor management and fundraising software for nonprofits. This is Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of 18NTC, the Nonprofit Technology Conference. Thanks so much for being with us.
We need to take a break. Wegner CPAs and Yeet Uchtun. You need to talk to Yeet. First, check out the firm at wegnercpas.com. Naturally, you're going to start your due diligence there. Then pick up the phone and talk to Yeet. You know he's been on the show, so he's bona fide, he's friendly, no pressure. He'll explain to you how Wegner can help you from doing your 990 up to the annual audit that you need. WegnerCPAs.com. Now, time for Tony's Take Two. My number one takeaway from NTC, the Nonprofit Technology Conference in New Orleans a few weeks ago, I'm loath to reveal it. Because if I do, you're not going to watch the video. It's about your CEO. And if you are a CEO, then it's about you. My video is at tonymartinetti.com. That's all I can say. Goodlink.com.
I'm Asif Talukdar, founder of Goodlink. At goodlink.com, nonprofits connect with businesses that advance their missions. When I want the best connections, I listen to nonprofit radio.
Goodlink, they are a new marketplace where nonprofits meet vendors. No cost to you as a nonprofit. It's your bridge to products and services, and I'm helping them get started. See what you think. Check them out, please. Goodlink.com, and it's link with a C. Now, it's time for our panel on SMS fundraising.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the 2018 Nonprofit Technology Conference. The hashtag is 18NTC. We're in the Convention Center in New Orleans. And this interview, like all at NTC, is sponsored by Network for Good, easy to use donor management and fundraising software for nonprofits. My guests now are Rachel Kotler, Taylor Dankmeyer, and Sandy Fox. Rachel, seated closest to me, is digital account manager at Lautman, Maska, Neal & Company. Taylor is mobile strategist at Upland Mobile Messaging. I said it right. I wasn't sure I would, but I did. And so I have to pat myself. And Sandy Fox is founder and principal consultant for Smart as a Fox, LLC. Rachel, Taylor, Sandy, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here too. And your workshop topic is raised how much with SMS? Mobile programs. Let's start down there with Sandy Fox.
Yeah.
Give us some motivation why mobile should be part of our fundraising plan.
Mobile should be part of your full integrated digital strategy. It should be part of fundraising. It should be part of your advocacy. It should be part of your engagement with your supporters, period.
And the why? That's the conclusion.
Well, no, I'm correcting you first.
What did I say?
You said for fundraising
your
only.
Fundraising plan. Oh, yes. Okay.
I'm saying it
Thank
should
you.
Be a part of your full digital strategy to be integrated into everything you do. And that
move
is
your,
because...
Move your mic up just a touch.
Okay.
There.
Better?
That's a little better. Yes.
And that is because everyone is on mobile. You want to meet people where they are, and 95% of Americans have a mobile phone. 77% of Americans have a smartphone. And so when you are texting them, they are more likely to read your message and see it and respond and engage with you as an organization, and really feel like they are a part of that organization as well.
Okay. Part of your total engagement strategy.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You for that. Yeah, I'm the remedial student of the group, so you need to bring me along.
Yeah.
Okay? But I'll
happy to do
I'll,
so.
I'll do my best to hold up the. Yeah. Or don't be so quite so willing. Okay. Yeah. I'm kidding. Okay. Let's jump right in. We know that open rates are very high, right? Open rates are They are?
Yes.
No, they are, but what I like to say is I don't like using the term open rate, because when you think of open rate, you think of email, which is something that you can actually track. So you can say this many people opened an email out of the people you sent it to.
Yes.
Whereas you can't technically track how many people see your text message, but we know from studies that the majority of folks who get a text message actually do read it.
Okay, and Rachel, don't they open them very, very quickly too?
Yeah, most people open their text messages within 2 minutes of receiving it.
Okay.
And if you think about it, most people like get an anxious feeling if they see in their phone they have text messages that they haven't read yet.
Yeah.
So that's why when we talk about open rates, we're talking about the fact people actually are opening the text messages and seeing it, whereas email, like, I mass click delete at this point. I mean, there are just so many emails coming in every minute.
Okay. Email does still have some credibility, though.
Oh, yes.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. By far.
Okay.
Your heart rate actually goes up when you receive a text message. There's a real study behind that.
Physiological change?
Yes.
In the body?
Yes.
When you receive a text message?
That's why she mentions she kind of gets a little anxious.
Until you
get excited.
Until you have read it, there's a physiological change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Taylor. cool. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I asked this of another group a couple of sessions ago. We were talking about SMS. And I said, surely there's going to be another technology sometime down the road. I don't know if it's under development now. It may very well, may not be, but there will be something that'll be more urgent than SMS, and we'll end up trumping SMS. Doesn't that seem inevitable?
Maybe. I mean, I think people have been thinking that SMS was going to go away at some point, and that still hasn't happened.
No, clearly hasn't.
Similar to radio, the platform we're on right now. People think radio is going to die. Radio is not going anywhere. It's just kind of adapted over time.
And we're also a podcast, by the way.
Yeah, it's right. Exactly. Well, this is the back to the point.
We're multi-channel,
right?
But so, radio's in the name.
Yes.
So I'm not challenging.
Yeah, it's still an audio medium, right? Yeah, so sure. Audio focused.
And we do have AM/FM affiliate stations.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just,
No, I got you. So that's kind of, I think...
I'm quibbling. Am I combative with everybody? Have I done that to all three of you? I know
not
I did it
me.
To Sandy and Taylor. I didn't do it to you because you're sitting close, I guess. You got the... Okay.
So,
I'm not combative.
But to go back to your question, I wasn't trying to trash radio. I actually used to... I was an intern. I did some school and stuff in high school on NPR.
Your NPR. No, radio,
love radio.
Radio is a very personal thing.
Yes.
I don't think,
so is SMS.
I don't think AM/FM is going anywhere.
Exactly.
In fact, we're finding ways to engage with it even more in our
exactly.
connected cars.
And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing with
and
messaging.
So is SMS.
We talked about different ways that people are using text messaging, different messaging tools. So now we've got, Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp and all these tools that are used. What we consider quote unquote over the top messaging. So over the top of what? I guess SMS. But those tools are continuing to develop. They're not as ubiquitous as SMS. SMS is a standard that is on everybody's phones.
We don't have to
exactly.
download WhatsApp.
The SMS 2.0 will be RCS, Rich Communication Services. It's still in development. It requires the carriers to basically approve it. So it's very slow. But once it comes around, it will sort of be a new age SMS. It'll have a lot of new features to it.
Okay.
So it's definitely not going anywhere. I don't know if there's anything, there's no thing that's going to replace it. But if it is, it's different messaging tools and, RCS, if that actually becomes a thing, which
okay.
it will.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was very articulate.
There
Thank
will
you.
Always be early adapters to something new, but it'll take a long time for folks to catch up to it.
Yep.
So, for instance, like I said, we have 95% of folks have a cell phone, but only 77% of folks have a smartphone. So we know that there's that gap right there, right, between that 95 and 77%.
Yes. And you need to be sensitive to that, too, in terms of not always... providing a link to click.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Which is why we tell folks sometimes a really great way to engage your audience is to ask them to respond and take action within the text messaging platform. So text sign and then give us your zip code so you can sign this petition. That's why phone calls are so successful through mobile devices and texting is because you're always already on that platform. We ask you to text call and all of a sudden you're calling your senator.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
yeah.
And Rachel, go ahead.
To bring it back into fundraising, if you think about it, I remember maybe 5 years ago, my father, who's the target donor age, he like refused to text with me. He just wanted to email me, and now he texts me every day. We have a family chat we're on. We get pictures, see baby pictures, everything like that. And so, I mean, your donors are now using text, getting more comfortable on their phones.
And more, and to add a stat to that, every year over the last 3 years, it's increased by 40% the number of people who have given via their mobile devices. So the last 3 years, 40%, 40%,
40% year after year.
Year after year. And okay. My father is one of those folks, too, who now is on a text thread. Used to take a picture of an article and send it to me. And he very, very cautious of identity theft. But I think he's getting to a point where he would give on his mobile device.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Taylor, let's talk about some of the goals. We've talked around them a little bit, but what aside from fundraising, what else can we do with SMS?
Yeah, going back to what Sandy was saying, you know, actually it's kind of new that we started talking about fundraising over SMS. People didn't directly think of building an SMS program 5-10 years ago just about fundraising. It didn't seem to make sense. People were afraid they weren't going to donate over text. That's starting to change for sure now. We talk about how people are comfortable with it. So most of our customers were just engaging like they are in all their other channels. So they're educating them, they're asking them to make calls, they're, you know, sending them videos, they're asking for their supporters to send in content or pictures of, you know, maybe them at an event, and also grabbing lots of information. I mean, in some ways, when we first started doing this, it was essentially let's have people text in when they're at an event and let's grab their emails and names, because one, collecting hundreds of people's names at an event on paper is terrible and awful for everyone involved. But also, this is just much easier for organizations to handle. And we know that they're going to, once they text in, it's very likely they're going to quickly respond. They're used to having a conversation over text,
yeah.
You know? So the more we can make it conversational, like it is with their family and their friends, the better off we are. And because okay. of those open rates and response rates, you know, you can collect a lot of information very quickly. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
and if you think about it, breaking news alerts, people are looking at their phones right away and their text messages. Yep. I mean, already today we all got like 3 texts from different organizations about Paul Ryan announcing that he's not running again.
Oh, yep. I've been doing interviews. Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul Ryan is not Paul. Oh, wow.
I found out from Dave and Emily's list.
You heard it here first.
Heard it here first. Yes. Okay. Well, now by the time this airs, it'll be old. It'll be 6 week old news.
Yeah, but, exactly. All right.
But I'm intrigued. Okay. Very interesting. Part of your workshop was spent talking about human rights campaign, and they did very, very successfully. Nobody's from HRC here. Who wants to talk about why they're a model to follow?
I can talk about that. So okay. I've been working with HRC for about 3.5 years now on their email and mobile fundraising and advocacy programs. Drew from HRC was on the panel with us.
Why isn't Drew here?
He's too cool.
No. Yeah. That's not the reason.
It's so true. He's very cool.
He's very busy.
No, Prop Radio
He's
is
an
cool.
important man.
All right.
Well, I'm shout out okay. to Drew. He's awesome. Right. He is the person you get the text from for HRC. I would say part of the reason that their mobile program is so good is because they've actually been around a lot longer than other organizations. They were an early adopter of okay. mobile, and they've been able to really invest in it and try new things, do testing, segment their list, use it for calling Congress, use it to raise money, use it especially around some Supreme Court decisions as a way to both engage and grow supporters and also to tell people breaking news and get them to donate and become members.
All right, so they've using it robustly, using it for a lot of different purposes. What specifically can our listeners in small and mid-sized shops, who are all very cool, by the way, our listeners are cool and this show is cool.
Totally.
I don't know about this guy, Drew. I don't know him, so I'm not going to say anything. It's his life. I mean, he chose not to. You know, it's his life.
Answer is he's busy. He's a very important guy.
Okay.
You know.
What can our listeners take away from HRC? Aside from lots of wide goals, lots of different diverse goals with it. What else can we take away?
I would say, first takeaway: if you're trying to start from scratch, start adding a mobile field collection to any petitions and forms you do online. That's how HRC first started to collect numbers and grow their list. and add a spot for it on your website so you can get started. And second, if you're doing mail and you have people's mobile numbers, start integrating. If you're sending an email and you have mobile, send a text with the email, send a text with the mailing. That way it's a quick little reminder for somebody and it'll help with your multi-channel strategies.
Okay. What are these solicitation or not solicitation, to try to grow the list? Where do you put these fields? What are these?
Where do the call to action go?
What are the fields that you're asking people to fill out in order to opt in? Is it just phone number? And a check that I'm willing to accept texts and standard message rates may apply?
You don't even need to include a check. Because everyone has a standard email opt-in. You just add the mobile opt-in language with it to any of your forms for an action, for just to get on your email list. You just include the mobile opt-in number, and if they give you their mobile number, they're on your list. Okay.
As long as you have the compliance language at the bottom of the form, you're pretty much good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how do we grow that list over time? What are some good growth strategies? Who wants to go? Taylor, you go.
I'll definitely want to ask Sandy. She's run these programs at a higher level than I have. But with SMS, it requires a lot of promotion off the bat, like anything else. And if you're starting from scratch or from a small list, you really do need to do a lot of work to get that going. I guess my rule of thumb is you really need to promote it everywhere. Your best bet is adding them to web forms. So we just talked about that. Yep, you've got all these existing forms. Just add a field to those, and hopefully people will provide their numbers and you can start texting them. The other place that it could work, though, is really everywhere else. So you've got a huge list on emails, most likely. You may have a very large audience on Facebook. Building graphics that say text, HRC to 30644, or text marriage at 30644 to, send us your reaction or your story or something like that. So really, you've got to promote it everywhere, because unlike, say, maybe Facebook or like your website, I can go find those on the web if I'm looking for what your organization does.
Yeah.
To find your text message list, I really need to do some more work. So adding it to that form, having graphics on your social media, promoting those, maybe putting some money into it. Yeah. But then also specifically, when you're having people join the list, you want to give them a reason why you're joining. You might ask for emails and people understand, they want my email because they want to reach out to me. With mobile, it's great if you can specifically say, hey, text in for this specific thing. So whether that's a free item, some kind of gimmick, or if it's, text in to tell us how you're feeling about this marriage equality decision or something like that. So making it really specific and people seeing the value right off the bat is really important. Otherwise, they're like, well, why do I want to get text from you? Like, what's the value? So you want to provide value immediately.
Got to take a break. Telos. I have a Telos Moniel for you. Quote, Telos has opened up a whole new stream of donations for our nonprofit. It has allowed business owners to support us without any additional cost to the company. End quote. That's Barry Dodson, founder of Accelerate Ministries. A whole new stream of donations. That's the long tail of passive revenue I've been talking about for you. No cost to the companies you refer. Watch the video. Get started at tony.ma/TonyTelos. Now, let's go back to SMS fundraising.
Do you have more to add?
Definitely. So I worked at Planned Parenthood for 3 years and built their mobile program from the ground up. They already had a decent number of mobile numbers because Planned Parenthood, and they'd already had mobile on some of their forms. So they had already had some opt-ins, but they didn't have an engaged list. And within the first month of me being there, it was June, and a Supreme Court decision came down that was not a positive one for the reproductive rights movement. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg gave a scathing dissent. And part of our strategy, we had obviously planned for whatever result would come in. And if we lost, we wanted people to sign on to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dissent. So we put on all of our graphics, all of our banners on Facebook, Twitter, to text dissent to our short code. And we got a ton of new opt-ins just from that. So really what Taylor was saying is true. Just making sure you include a text opt-in in a lot of your visual graphics on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and Twitter. Utilizing your actions that you already are doing. So really just integrating that in. And then taking advantage of events. We've seen a lot of activists getting out there and going to these large-scale marches and rallies, if someone from your organization is speaking at one of these rallies, make sure that in their speech, at some point, they say, hey, everyone, pull out your cell phone. I want you to do this right now. I want you to text the word join or march to 69866 or whatever the short code is, and say, I'll wait for you to do it.
Yeah.
And have them do that. It really, the march that we had, the Women's March back when Trump first took office, the Women's March group got so many text opt-ins from that one event. They had millions of numbers that they could reactivate for different actions throughout the year. So it really, you need to take advantage of those moments, be it a Supreme Court decision, be it a rally or an event, and just utilize it.
How about some of the, well, yeah, maybe we'll come back to best practices if we still have some time, but I want to spend a little time on the technology, the platform.
Yeah.
How do we do this? How do we do the, Rachel, we haven't heard from you in a few minutes. How do we do this back end if we don't currently have it? What are we looking for? What are we searching for? What kind of technology do we need?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different companies or vendors you can use that have these programs. So
okay.
You just need a budget that you can put towards it and to choose the right vendor for whatever your situation is.
What are you searching for? What search terms do I use to try to find the right vendors?
Mobile texting. That's it.
Just okay.
Usually right. A decent number will come
fine.
Up.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a really easy one. If you just type in Upland Mobile Messaging into Google, that'll come up. Sorry, that was just my shameless plug. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes, you didn't really need to call it out as such.
And honestly, most of us have used Mobile Commons Upland Messaging for all of the work that we've done with other organizations. So there's a reason folks use them. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but of course there are other vendors out there. There are different price points depending on your list size. The more numbers you have, the more people you want to text, the more it's going to cost. The more calls to Congress you want to do, that's more expensive than texting. If you want to send a multimedia message, MMS, that's more expensive than just a text with words. So it's all a question of budget and figuring out what makes sense for your nonprofit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the technology is pretty easy to figure out. I mean, you have to have the budget.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's overnight, but
think of it as like any email platform. It's very similar to an email platform. Only you're doing 160 characters instead of putting together a full email, and you're segmenting your list. And it's a very similar. If you're pretty good at learning an email platform, you're going to be. It'll be easy for you to learn a mobile platform.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Then let's go back to some more best practices. Since we still have, we got like 6 or 7 minutes together. So some things we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, I can give a fun example that HRC did this past summer.
Please do.
We knew there was a big march coming up in D.C. during Pride Month. So we knew a lot of people wouldn't be able to physically get there. So we decided, what if we do a virtual Pride March? To go with the physical march and Pride Month and have people have to text in to have their name added to a scroll. So we promoted it on email. We promoted it on Facebook, on Twitter, pretty much all over the place. And then we asked people who did it to promote it more. And if people like seeing their name, you had to text in to get your name added. So people could see their name, instant gratification.
People love to be shouted out.
Yeah.
I send live listener love, nonprofit radio. I do like city and state. And people say, you know, love it. We have what the heck else do I do? Oh, listeners of the week. Listener of the week. Hey,
yeah.
People
like to see their name or hear it.
It's amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and HRC was actually able to grow their list by over 10,000 people from that one action. So, I mean, be creative with it. Yes, add it to your forms. Mm-hmm. If you have an event, ask people to do it. Even our session, we started off by asking people to text SMS to 662266 to rate how experienced they were with it, and then we had a little.
We had a poll.
Live poll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're insiders, so that you know. All right.
I can give a couple examples.
Please do.
To go off what Rachel was saying, Planned Parenthood. We when we had our first Pink Out Day, which was a real rallying cry for around Planned Parenthood when they were being attacked in 2015. What we did is we had a digital wall that was everyone who was tagging their tweets and Instagram posts with Pink Out. And on mobile, what we did is we asked folks to send in their Pink Out pictures. So we got well over 1,000 photos, including men wearing pink high heels. We got, it was also National Coffee Day, so we got photos of a woman with pink lipstick on her coffee cup. We got lots of family photos of everyone wearing pink. So it was really wonderful to engage them on that medium on mobile when they were out and about. And then another good example of fundraising example for you is that every year since I was at Planned Parenthood, we did this tactic, which actually Hillary Clinton during her campaign stole from us. I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, I can tell. Yes, you can see that. You're not.
The other HRC.
Right.
So what we did is around year end, it's holiday time. So we would send a message to our list and we'd say, Cecile Richards wants to wish you a happy holidays and has a special greeting for you. Text here. And you'll hear that greeting. And so they would immediately get a phone call with an audio recording from Cecile. Think of it as a new age robocall, right? With her wishing them a happy holidays and then with an ask tied into it, saying we would love your support this holiday season. And then once the message ended, they got a text message with a link to give. And we saw really great results with that, and then with follow-up texts over year end. And so there's lots of ways that you can utilize the platform for engagement.
Yeah, so who wouldn't love to hear from the CEO
right?
of an organization that
they love.
Doesn't have to be Planned Parenthood?
Yeah,
yep.
You know,
exactly.
It's an organization you're supporting.
Every town has done it with celebrities that are supporters. So
yep.
They've done recordings from Julianne Moore and other mm-hmm. folks who are some of their higher-up supporters. So it works, and it's something that you can do on mobile and that folks really respond to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We got Taylor? Anything?
Just best practices. I mean, just a quick one, you know, communications should be regular, varied, and two-way. So you should be regular, varied, two-way communications.
Okay.
That's the name of the game. Regular as in that we need to be reaching out to them fairly regularly. We don't want to leave them stranded for two months.
Someone in another panel said,
yeah.
Otherwise they'll forget that I opted in.
Yeah. If I stopped texting you after 2 months and I asked you for some money, you'd probably be like, well, no, I'm not giving you any money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to keep that relationship going. Maybe 2 to 4 times a month, maybe once a week, it started to change. Varied. We talked about different kinds of things to promote advocacy fundraising, really build it into your existing programs
mm-hmm.
and don't leave some stuff out, really kind of make it, you know, diverse, so people aren't always doing the same thing.
Plan, as I was,
yeah,
as
exactly.
I was
don't just don't continue to
Sandy.
Ask people for money over text. That's going to look really bad,
right.
And they're not going to see the value that
yeah.
your organization's
exactly.
bringing. And then two-way again, it's a text message. Let's make it personal and let's make it very human and have them respond to us and ask questions and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
we gotta leave it there.
Yep.
Okay.
That's cool.
Great.
All right. They are Rachel Kotler, digital account manager at Lautman Maska Neal and Company. Taylor Dankmeyer, mobile strategist for Upland Mobile Messaging, and Sandy Fox, Sandy with an I, founder and principal consultant at Smart as a Fox, LLC. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony.
And thank you for being with our coverage of 18NTC, the Nonprofit Technology Conference. This interview is sponsored by Network for Good, easy-to-use donor management and fundraising software for nonprofits. Thanks so much. Next week, more smart guests from the Nonprofit Technology Conference. If you missed any part of today's show, I beseech you, find it on TonyMartinetti.com. We're supported by Pursuant, online tools for small and mid-sized nonprofits, data-driven and technology-enabled, tony.ma/Pursuant Radio. Wegner CPAs, guiding you beyond the numbers, WegnerCPAs.com. And Telos, credit card and payment processing, your passive revenue stream, tony.ma/TonyTelos. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is the line producer. The show's social media is by Susan Chavez, and our music is by Scott Stein. Be with me next week for Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I am Dr. Tranquility of Dr. Tranquility PR, successfully meeting the media needs of the wellness community. As an expert myself for major mainstream media, radio, TV, and print magazines, I now help you book interviews for broadcast radio, podcast, television, and IPTV, as well as many, many magazines. Reach me, 212-920-1603.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.